Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
It's Linda Ocko, Jenna here again with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. So we've now started having members of the SBCN who have an expertise in a certain demographic to be our regular co-host on this video podcast and to share with us tips and ideas about their particular expertise. And today I have an awesome person on the podcast video called Ashley Griffin. He's a Brit like me, so you'll love his accent. I am going to ask Ashley what kind of business he's in and to explain to us, you know, how he gets the word out there about what his business is and encourages people to know that they want to work with him. Hi, Ashley.
Morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good, but it's coming close to Christmas, so I'm closing down some things, trying to get my members and my clients, you know, sorted for the Christmas period, because Christmas is one of my favourite times of the year. And I just love to relax and have a drop of wine or something like that. So, Ashley, we met, I think, about a year ago at another networking event, and you became a member of the SBCN, for which I'm forever grateful. So can you tell us a bit about your business, please?
So we are an IT company. We would normally do break-fix, which is how we started many years ago. So that's when your computer or your home computer breaks. We're normally the guy that would come in with a screwdriver, take it to bits and work out what happened to it. We would also do antivirus. So when you get a virus, work out how to get rid of that virus, make sure it's removed from the system and so it functions as it did from new. We were also very good at working out whether that might need to be rebuilt or whether it was repairable. So, you know, and working out that conversation about backing the data up, where's it going to go, and how do we get the data back on your system? We augmented away from that mostly because Microsoft with Windows 10 and 11, they're not technically repairable anymore. When you get a virus, you can't really repair those. As for this other part of the company, we're more of a network. So we do a lot of the connectivity between all the computers and the servers and all of the infrastructure. So that would be phones, printers, scanners, and anything you use to communicate between those computers. That's generally what we do, and we will physically come out on site with tools to diagnose that, repair it, replace it, install it.
Wow. So your company is called Griffcom, which I think is a really, really awesome name. So has this got anything to do with your name? Is that why you came up with the name for the business?
Ironically, yes and no. Clearly it is connected with my name. However, it was actually a project I was doing in the quantum industry. And we dropped that. That was the name we were going to use for that.
Yeah.
That was something I did not proceed with due to money. Yeah. So we kind of just used it for the company. It's communication and it's got my name in it. It tends to work.
It does, because it's memorable. And then I go, I know Ashley Griffin. What's his business name? Oh, yeah, it's like his real name. So I can Google you and I can find you. Now, we had a discussion, I guess, recently about how people would be clients, your target market, know to come to you because you're an IT guy, but you're also a network specialist. So what is a network specialist to the person on the street? How would they know what a network specialist is?
We understand the method of connection between your tablet, the internet, and any cloud services you're trying to connect to. So we would do, if you've got 10 tablets on site and they're all running slow, we have the equipment of physically coming up with the numbers on why that's slow. What do you need to put in to stop that being slow? personally, we don't do cloud, sell cloud, but the connectivity to the cloud still works. So we're more of the expert of understanding how that communication works. And we also spawn out to mobile phones. So if you're in on holiday with your mobile and you have to connect to the cloud, we understand the security implications and how to put something secure in so you can still connect back to your office correctly and diagnose why the speed's probably an issue. So that's where we come from. So we're not a seller cloud and disappear. We don't know.
That's interesting because, you know, say when people Google for networking events, obviously the Small Business Community Network offers networking events. So that would explain to a lot of people if they're looking for networking events to do with business networking, connecting with people, that a network specialist is to do with connectivity with computers and all the other things you said. And it's kind of put my mind clear on that, because one of the things you need to do, like everybody in business, is make sure people find you through your marketing and online. You deal with the bigger organisations, I would think. You seem to have the longevity and the business know-how that you've grown your business to the point where you are dealing with the bigger clients. Would I be correct?
Yes, we will deal with anyone that effectively has a budget, but you are correct. They've got to have an IT budget that they're writing off yearly, three-yearly, five-yearly, because we're clearly going to specify hardware that is work for 1, 3, 5 years. Yeah, we do deal with some pretty sizable clients. You know, one of them being big in the retail industry, running through thousands of their clients a day.
Wow.
But equally, you know, we've dealt with companies of down to 5 staff, 10 staff. As long as they have an IT budget, we're generally quite good. Also, we generally don't have to go on site. Anything we sell generally doesn't break. So once it's in there and working, we don't have to revisit that.
Wow, that's
so interesting. It can also be a problem. We're selling quality hardware. I really don't want to revisit the firewall that I've put in to work, so I don't have to visit that. So clients have tend to said we can focus on deploying new toys. What do we want to expand to, rather than what we put in a year ago isn't working correctly and we've got to try and work around that? That's not the ethic we come from.
So you mentioned the word firewall, and I know what a firewall is because my husband's a little bit on the techie side and he's my business partner, as you know. For the listeners out there, if they don't know what a firewall is, like, should they be using a computer or do they have an IT person if it's a smaller business? Say it's a sole proprietor and they don't know if there's anything wrong with the firewall, or if they have one, should they be contacting somebody so that they can explain it, or do the people who look after them just say, you don't need to know because I'm going to look after it for you?
Actually, but that's what Bell does. So Bell's firewall is built into that black box or the white box, whichever they're going to send you. And they're technically turn off and onable. However, we have a lot of conversations with small businesses being 1 to 3 man, and we will give them free advice on where they maybe want to go with that. And jumping from the Bell, you know, pay Bell, pay Rogers, you get a bridge where the cable comes in and then it's Wi-Fiing or cabling out to computers. That's generally the firewall.
And it protects, does it protect the computer from the bad guys or something? What does it do?
Yeah, it's called a firewall because that's exactly what it does. It's a wall of flame, and it will stop people getting into your site. So anything that hits that will be incinerated.
That sounds so like, oh, gosh, my computer or something, or that box is going to be on fire in a minute. How long have you been working in this industry? Because you are very, very, you've got a large expertise in it, haven't you?
I started in the mid to late 1980s, mechanically, where I started writing reviews for games for magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a gamer, ironically, so that made my reviews kind of interesting because I looked at, you know, how long did it take the game to load? was I going to get bored and was it going to take over an hour? So that's where I started. I then jumped into the computer. I actually worked for Dell in, I think, 1989. Mm-hmm. And Dell, obviously, everybody knows who Dell is. They were very infant. They were new then. And nobody knew who they were. Yeah. So I was a hardware tester. So they built the system and I would create the software to test the system.
It's interesting. This is why I guess your business has continued to have consistent growth. And then a lot of new businesses globally, not just in Canada, say to themselves, well, I've got a bit of IT experience, so I'm going to offer this to clients, to customers. But I think if I wanted any tips, and that's what we're going to be getting from our regular monthly SBCN podcast videos, is you offering us tips. For instance, what do you think some of the coming up to Christmas would be our next one, if you're available, obviously. What kind of tips do you think we can be looking at, without giving everything away, for the December month? Because is it a busy month where people need the computers fixed? How can you help them with some offerings then about, the month of December, if there is a certain way to look at your computer in December? I'm not an expert, am I?
In my industry, our work generally drops in the last quarter because most businesses are budgeting for next year. There's a lot of advice we give about, yes, you need that server, we'll do that in January, February, March, and looking at costs and are they available and is it still going to be available? Now, as for users or people that are using computers, my only advice to this is be really careful what you buy in retail and make sure there's a warranty on that, and that warranty is from the factory, not the retail store.
Oh, interesting.
So make sure the warranty is a 3-year manufacturer rather than something you buy with Best Buy, that they're warranting that. Those warranties generally, as far as I'm concerned, are not really worth the paper they're written on, because they're supported by another company, especially now where tablets and laptops are not repairable. Mm-hmm. They're an all-in-one unit. You can't take the bottom or the lid off them or the keyboard off them. So I don't know how that warranty they're selling you is going to ever maintain that. The factory will. So that would be my advice, is kind of look at what you're buying. And it really is as easy as it sounds. If you're going to cheap out on a laptop, you're going to get a cheap laptop. Mm-hmm. And you generally want to spend slightly more money. Usually in IT, spending more money goes a long way. If you were to buy a laptop at, I don't know, $800 and you had another one at $1,200, that $1,200 is probably going to last you 3 to 5 years.
Why? Yeah. What's the difference though between an $800 one and a $1,200 one?
Generally, in the industry, you jump out of the cheap retail, we'll push it out to retail, to something slightly more industrial. So you may find the $1,200 one's got a mechanically better keyboard.
Oh.
So, that keyboard is probably going to be the last thing that fails. So when I get hold of that, when it's 7 years old, that keyboard's probably still going to work.
Oh, wow.
Whereas the battery may have worn out. Well, the battery is technically a consumable item. If you go down to the $800, and I've seen them, like there are a whole swath of keys that have failed. And they've got to go back to factory and have a new keyboard put in them. Of course, the keyboard they put in them is not as good as the one that already failed.
That's so interesting. It's something that the regular consumer wouldn't probably know, because I'm not saying the sales people are dishonest, but have they got the expertise to tell the, the person who wants an $800 or a $1,200, have they got the expertise to say, well, if you buy the $800, this might happen, but if you buy the $1,200, this might not happen? And would the normal consumer who's not using it for work understand that as well?
No. The sales guy won't. I mean, the sales guy is basically going to tell you what the factory told him. That's getting even worse now. The sales guy is basically there to push boxes.
True.
And I don't know that I've seen IT experts anymore in retail. Like, they used to be in retail. Mm-hmm. Where you could ask them and they would, yeah, don't buy that. You might want to go for this one. Mm-hmm. They're not really there and they don't know. And that's going to be the issue. And as a good example here, my laptop is a Lenovo, and my one's, I think, about 9 years old.
Oh, what?
The backlight keyboard's still working. The 3G in it's still working. Now, that laptop would have been about $2,000 new. Well, it's still going 9 years later.
And 9 years ago, $2,000 was a lot of money. That was expensive, wasn't it? Today, yeah. People go, oh, $2,000 is nothing. That's a Lenovo. That's a really good name. Is it a really good brand?
Lenovo is good. However, Lenovo have two sides to their business. They have a retail side and they have a corporate side. Mm-hmm. Generally, Best Buy's got a lot of the retail stuff. It isn't good. The Lenovo corporate, a lot better. And in fact, a lot of their corporate stuff you can't disassemble now, but they are good. So, yeah, it takes someone like me who's been in the industry this long, who is looking at manufacturers to say, what are you selling here? What is the quality of this? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I won't sell Lenovo retail hardware. It isn't good. I will sell Lenovo corporate. That is good. So just because it's got Lenovo on it doesn't mean it's good.
So basically, we're more concerned, not that we don't like people who are not in business, but we're more concerned, I think, with the smaller business owners and then who cannot afford somebody to take care of all their IT stuff. So today you've given us a lot of information to everyone, actually, about, you know, what is a firewall and how do you buy a good, you know, laptop, desktop, whatever kind of thing. So I'm really looking forward to the next time when you can offer us some tips, because I see lots of questions online, and I'll try and write those questions down so I can offer you some kind of idea what people are wanting to know about the kind of expertise you've got to offer. Is there a short words of wisdom you'd like to leave with us today, so we can remember that, you know, until you come back again?
My word of advice here is seek out any good IT expert, and there aren't many of us.
No.
I know three. they're worth ringing and asking a question, because I'll be absolutely honest, I have no issue with giving out free advice and telling people, yeah, go to Newegg and go and buy that. I'm not in it. I'm not going to make a lot of money on a screen. I'm very happy to give them a part number and say that should give you 5 years. Go and buy that part number before the Black Friday sale ends, because it's worth it.
That's a good. You're a very nice person, aren't you? I guess this is why you're successful in business as well. It's not all about the money. It's about helping people as well, which is wonderful in this day and age.
Yeah. So my advice is to go to some of the smaller events like the SPCN.
Yeah.
Buy any experts there and ask them, because a 5 minute advice, these guys aren't nickel and diming you. It's not worth holding that back.
No.
But we are generally up front, and we do get the questions, what do I do over 5 years? Yeah, that's going to be some money. But the whole point is they're going to build that into their budget. So, yeah, reach out to an expert that's been in the industry well over 10 or 15 years, and you should get some good advice out of them. Oh, and if anybody sees me in the street, it was branded, and they can track me down that way.
Oh, I love that. You are so fantastic. How can people find you? Now, do you work globally? Are you just basically working across Canada? How will people find you if they want to talk to you or get your services?
Our website will have our contact, which is griffcom.ca. It is going through a renew, so it's going to look radically different, hopefully, in the new year. I do have branded vehicles and I have branded T-shirts, so that, you know, you can always, wherever you find me, you're going to find me. I would normally serve locally, so that's, you know, within maybe a 50-mile radius of Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo. I do projects globally. I've got a project going on in the Philippines at the moment.
Okay.
So I do work remotely and deploying remotely, but generally I'm a local person that can come out with yellow tools and a yellow hat.
I've got to say congratulations on your new vehicle as well, because I've got a four-door Mini. I love Minis, and you've got, what is your Mini now that you've got branded?
I've got the Mini Countryman, which is the four-door all-wheel drive.
Wow.
It's technically a BMW 134 series size chassis.
It's lovely, though.
It's nice. It drives well. It looks kind of good. So, yeah.
And you've got your brand on it now. I know just you've got, you know, your business name on it. So, yeah, if I see you driving around, I'll wave to you.
I probably shouldn't have gone so light with the letters because, yeah, it's a black vehicle and we have the white Griffcom lettering on it. And that's what you see on it. So I'm getting people now saying, yeah, oh, we spotted you in the town. And I'm like, I have no idea what I was on Tuesday. So I don't know.
Just say, yes, I'm everywhere. That's wonderful advertising. So thank you so much for being our expert in the IT and the network industry. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you again in a month. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thanks, Linda. We'll touch base again in about a month.